I'm so excited this morning to share God's word with you. I am looking forward to it. Let us pray together and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Our Father in heaven, we ask of you to open our eyes to behold the wonderful truth from your word. Help us grow in our spiritual life by means of doing your word and not merely hearing it only. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our text is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. And the title for this morning's sermon is entitled Futility of Life. I guess we have the text. Can we flesh it out? And let's read the text responsively. Can I invite all of us to stand? I'll read the first verse, and congregation read the following verse. I say to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good, but that also proved to be meaningless. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. Then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruits of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? The Please be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Many years ago, I heard a story. The story is entitled, How Much Land Does a Man Need? Heard the story during a church service. Later, I realized that that story actually was can be found online. The story was originated from this a Russian writer. His name is Leo Tolstoy. And this writer was regarded as one of the greatest authors of all time. So the story brought out one important truth in life, and that is, flash that? Satisfaction brings happiness, and greed for more things brings unhappiness, loss of peace of mind, and even death. So this is the truth from that story. The story goes like this. An elder sister from the city visits her younger sister in the village, and the elder sister boasts about city life, good food, clothes, and entertainment, etc., etc. The younger sister replied and said, though life in the village is tough, but she and her husband, Pakom, right? Her husband's name is Pakom. They are free from all these temptations of city life. Now, their little conversation was heard by the devil, who planned to tempt the farmer Pakom. And one day, the landlady of the village decided to sell her estate, and Pakom bought 40 acres of her land and thinks now he will be happy. But land doesn't give him happiness. He becomes very possessive of his land. And he has many arguments with his neighbors, you know, and when they cut down 5 of his trees, his peace of mind was lost. He decided to teach them a lesson by firing some of the workers. But in return, he received threats to burn down his building. So when he hears of another community, you know, the prosperous community somewhere, he decided to shift there. But soon he is dissatisfied again. He's dissatisfied with living in a communal land. Now he thinks of buying his own land. Right? So, sounds like many of us, right? And finally, he was introduced to the buskers, who are simple-minded people with huge amount of land. The chief of buskers agreed to sell him as much land as he can walk in one day. And all he needed to pay is 1,000 rubles only. 1,000 rubles is approximately $240. But there is a catch. He must return to the starting point before the sun sets the same day. So that's the catch. Or the sale will be off. Pakom was happy, because he believed that he can cover great distance within one day, and he had chanced upon the good bargain of a lifetime. So when the day came, he ran. Right? He ran with all his might. He put a spade on the ground to indicate, to mark out the land that he has covered. And then he quickly got back to the starting point. He was tired, because of the long walking and a long day of walking and running. The sun was almost set, almost down, but not quite. So he still got some time. So what he did was he took off in another direction to acquire some more land. And finally, he reached the starting point. Just before the sun sets, the chief of the buskers was there standing, welcoming him, cheering him on. But Pakom was so exhausted that he dropped dead. And Pakom's servant picked up the spade that he used to mark out the land and digs a grave and buried him. From his head to the heels, the servant measured 6 feet of land. And yes, 6 feet of land was all he needed at the end of the day. This story to me is a picture of the futility of life. It's a reflection on the emptiness and the misery of modern life. People gain something, but then they cannot enjoy it. You know, they work and work and work and work, you know, to gain more and more and more wealth. But somehow they lose it. People are more educated now, but the world is not getting any better. So the question we want to ask this morning is, what then is the point of living? Is life really meaningless? Now take a look at some of the quotations by some well-known figures of the world. I can see this on the screen, right? The first one is Ralph Button. Now Ralph Button is an American artist, best known for his cartoons and caricatures of actors and actresses and other celebrities. His work was in great demand in the 1920s and 1930s, you know, and early 30s. He was often considered to epitomize the era. But his personal life was troubled by manic depression. And to prevent his mental illness from worsening, he took a gun and shot himself. He was only 39 years of age when he died. He left a suicide note saying, "I have had few difficulties, many friends, great successes. I have gone from wife to wife," sounds like Solomon, "and house to house, visited great countries of the world. But I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day." Ralph Button. And the next one, we have this, the founder of analytical psychology, Carl Jung. And he believed that the central neurosis of our time is emptiness. And next, we have another person, Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl is an Austrian neurologist and psychiatrist, as well as a Holocaust survivor. And he said something similar. He said, "Clinics are crowded with people suffering from a new kind of neurosis, a sense of total and ultimate meaninglessness of life." And next we have Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell was born into a Christian home and taught to believe in God, but he rejected the training, and he became an outspoken atheist. His daughter, Catherine Tate, said of him, "Somewhere at the bottom of his heart, in the depths of his soul, there was an empty space that once had been filled by God, and he never found anything else to put in it." And last but not the least, Mark Twain, an American writer, expressed similar thoughts about the meaninglessness of life in view of man's inevitable death. Shortly before his own death, he wrote this. He said, "A myriad of men are born. They labor and sweat and struggle. They squabble and scold and fight. They scramble for little mean advantages over each other. Age creeps upon them. Infirmities follow. Those they love are taken from them. And the joy of life is turned to aching grief. It comes at last, the only unpoisoned gift earth ever had for them. And they vanish from a world where they were of no consequence. A world which will lament them a day and forget them forever." What's the point of living? What's the point of life? Is life really meaningless? Solomon responded to this very basic question of life in the book of Ecclesiastes. And yet, even today, his counsel is widely ignored or misunderstood. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon focused on man. Man, the creature, his life on earth, and also he focused on God's mysterious ways. He emphasized the fact that human life, if spent without God, if spent apart from God, is futile and meaningless. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, the text for us this morning. We can divide the chapter into three sections. And the division is meant to prove just one point, that life without God is futile and meaningless. The first section comprises verses 1 to 11. Now, this is my own division. And the second section is made up of verses 12 to 17. And the third section is made up of verses 18 to 26. In verses 1 to 11, Solomon describes to us that life without God is meaningless. Why? Because pleasure and riches accomplish little or nothing. And he showed us by his personal experience. You see, in verses 1 and 2, which we read just now, Solomon concluded that pleasure was futile and meaningless. Solomon's question, and what does pleasure accomplish, is actually rhetorical, right? Because it's expecting a negative answer. In verses 3 to 11, he described the means by which he sought and found pleasure. In his quest to find something worthwhile to do, he even experimented with sensual indulgence and embracing folly. Verse 3. And he did this to test the effects of pleasure seeking, to see if they were really, really worthwhile. And in his inquiry into the value of pleasure, he denied himself nothing. That's what the Bible told us. He refused his heart no pleasure. Now, Solomon is the richest and the most powerful man who had ever lived in Jerusalem. And he surrounded himself with objects that would bring pleasure to him. For example, in verse 4, it says, buildings and vineyards. In verse 5 and 6, gardens and parks that are filled with trees. In verse 7, he was surrounded with a great entourage of slaves who were available to serve him, and musicians to meet his aesthetic needs, and a large harem to satisfy his physical desires. Verse 8. However, when he reflected on the real value of what he had accomplished, this is his conclusion, that it was meaningless and a chasing after the wind. There was no real and ultimate gain from all his accomplishments under the sun. And so what did he do? So he turned to something better, wisdom. And this is the second section. The gist of the second section is this, that life without God is meaningless because the same fate overtakes the wise and the fool. Verse 12, it says, then I turn my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? And by that, he means that no one could exceed his resources. People who follow after him, who come after him, can only repeat what he himself has done. But after trying it all, here are his conclusions. Verse 13, he says, then I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. It is much better to go at it with your eyes open, Solomon says, right? If you are going to pursue pleasure, He says, at least do it with your eyes open. Don't do it like a wild man, you know. Because otherwise you might burn yourself out, or you might get into things that you cannot imagine. Very often we read about news in the newspapers about young people who gave themselves to the wild pursuit of pleasure, who are now in jail, or who are burnt out with drugs after a relatively short time. Solomon says it's better to pursue pleasure according to the way of the wise. But either way, he says, you cannot avoid death. And here is a very insightful statement at the close of verse 14 and to verse 16. And let me read to us. Solomon said, but I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise also must die. It does not really make a lot of difference. In the end, they both come to the same fate. The fool and the wise are both forgotten, and no wonder he reacted so strongly in verse 17. In verse 17, he says, so I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless and a chasing after the wind. And coming to the third section, Solomon pointed out to us that life without God is meaningless because of the temporal nature of the fruits of a man's labor. Having discussed the futility of his own achievement in section 1, verses 1 to 11, and in view of the universal death in section 2, verses 12 to 17, Solomon then turned to consider the value of human labor. And he discovered this. He discovered that the fruits of one's labor may be squandered by one's heir. And here, I believe he's speaking, he may be talking about his own family. Remember, his son took over the kingdom. And as a result, the kingdom was divided. And no wonder he said, the meaninglessness of human labor. Now, life was not the only thing Solomon found to be extremely distasteful and unacceptable. He also viewed all his labor, all his toil with distaste. He says, I hated all the things I have toiled for. Literally, it means I hated all my toil, all my labor. And thus, he viewed his work under the sun with despair. Because there was no permanence to its fruits, it doesn't last to the things he accomplished through it. Now, though what he accomplished and accumulated might survive him, right, he would have no control over how it would be used after his death, as I mentioned just now, right? All the wealth, the kingdom, the nation that was built up was squandered when the son took over. And he has no control over it. And how true it is, right? We will know that this is a fact in life. A person who inherited it, they do not need to work for it. And consequently, they have no real appreciation for what they inherited, right? So the person who inherited might be a fool who would squander what was passed down to him. And so Solomon declared this. He declared that human labor is not worth the effort. Verses 22 to 23. And his conclusion was that all that really resulted from human labor was a lot of pain and restlessness. A restless activity which is futile and which is meaningless. Now, brothers and sisters, what's the point of life? Is life really meaningless? Is there no answer? Is it all hopeless? As we have seen what happened in the world, there are many, many incidences, bad happenings in the world, and sometimes in our own lives, in our family, things happen. Is there no hope? Solomon said this. He said no. He said no. Life need not be meaningless. Life need not be futile. What you need to do, Solomon said, is this. Put God in the picture, and everything changes. In other words, you need to put a relationship with God in your life, and it will be meaningful. That's what Solomon said. That's what he discovered. Take a look at verse 24. Take a look at verse 24. He says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. Now notice Solomon did not say, eat and drink, for tomorrow you die. No, he says, eat and drink, for this is from the hand of God. This is the first statement of the true message of the book of Ecclesiastes. But unfortunately, this verse does not bring out its true meaning because of some bad translation. The words better than, right? A person can do nothing better than, right? The two words better than are not in the original. And they obviously do not belong there. Right? Now what this text actually says is there is nothing in man that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. Solomon says, this also I saw is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat and find enjoyment? Verse 25. This is the true message of the book. That is, enjoyment is a gift of God. Enjoyment is a gift of God. Can you say it aloud? Enjoyment is a gift of God. Amen. There is nothing in man himself that can enable him to keep enjoying the things he does. But it is possible to have enjoyment. It is possible to have enjoyment all your life if you take it from the hand of God. It is given to those who please God, in verse 26. To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. The man who pleases God is given the gift of joy. Now, it is wonderful to realize this, isn't it not? That this book and the whole Bible teaches us that God wants us to have joy. That God wants us to have joy. Life need not be futile. It need not be meaningless. God gave us life that we might have joy. In his letter to Timothy, Paul said this, he gives us richly all things to enjoy. It is God's desire and intent that all the good things of life that are mentioned here should contribute to the enjoyment of men. But only if you understand that the enjoyment does not come from the things in life or from people. It is a gift. It is a gift of God, an added gift of God, so to speak. And only those who please God can find it. But question, how do you please God? Are you pleasing God? How do you please God? In many places in the scripture, we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is faith that pleases Him. It is faith that believes that He is there, that God is there, and everything in life comes from His hand. Now, I want us to underscore in our minds the word all. Everything in life comes from His hand. All means including pain, sorrow, bereavement, disappointment, as well as gladness, happiness, and joy. All these things are a gift of God. I believe this. Now, because when we see life in these terms, then any and every element of life can have its measure of joy. Even sorrow, pain, and grief. I do not want to say this lightly, but I believe this is what God wants to speak to us. As I wait upon the Lord to prepare this message, I told my wife, I said, I have no message yet. The futility of life is so negative. I think people know that life is futile. Life is meaningless. But does people know that life can be meaningful with God in the picture? Does people know that God wants to give the best to them? And the best includes the negative aspect of life. I always say, we don't have to tell people to thank God when things are well and okay. But we need to encourage people to thank God for every event that are negative in life. I remember my car accident in 1986. That's some 31 years ago. The car accident involved my whole family. My whole family was in the car, and it was midnight, 4 a.m. in the morning. I've shared this before. But I want to remind myself and remind us that in spite and despite of a bad incident, there is joy. As I look back, God has protected me and my family. God has His purpose. If it had not been God during the time when the accident happened, things could have been worse. My car could have been, plunged into the ravine that is just next to it. But because there is this huge truck that was parked at the road shoulder, my car was spared. My eldest daughter could have bled. The bleeding could have caused her severely, or could have caused her life, had not been a taxi who came out of nowhere at midnight, 4 a.m. in the north-south highway of Malaysia. The taxi out of nowhere came, it's an empty, of course, with the driver. No passengers, and brought us quickly to Kajang Hospital. Had it not been someone who picked up my wife's little phone book, you know, those days we don't have handphone yet, 1986, remember? We use, that one is, okay, this is very advanced. Okay, we use a small booklet to write our phone numbers, and because of accident, all our passports, all our belongings were lying on the floor. Had there not been someone who picked up that phone book and dialed a number, and that number happened to be picked up by my previous pastor. And when we were in the hospital in KL, the general hospital, when we woke up the next morning, lo and behold, standing in front of our bed is our pastor. Then I was surprised. I said, how you know? He said, somebody called me. Who called you? Don't know. What did the person say? The person said, you are involved in a car accident. So I just quickly bought an air ticket and fly here. Wow. And he arranged for us, the five of us, to come back to Singapore. He bought the air ticket for us, fly back after 1 week of stay in KL General Hospital, and arrange for my family to see those cosmetic surgeons, you know, to touch up, you know, a little bit. So grief and pain, and just very recently, my wife had a very simple surgery, a procedure. The gastroscopy. I think some of us are very familiar. Huh? You have done it many times. Gastroscopy. Okay. Now the thing is not about the procedure. The thing is about her. Okay. She is like very anxious. Her blood pressure shot up to 174. You know, simple procedure. And she was shivering. And she asked for another blanket, you know, cover herself. And then she didn't know what to do. But she remembered. She taught the children. She's a kindergarten teacher. She taught the children, no, you must trust in God. You must believe in God, right? Like we are teaching people, right? You must, you know, in times of need, you must call on Jesus. But now she has need, right? She forgot. Suddenly she remembered. Said, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And after that, she was okay. Right? So these are experiences. What I'm saying is, we have in life, there are many happenings, both good and bad. I think we need to take it all. The word is all. We need to take it all from the Lord. When it is bad, if you can, I don't want to say you must. When bad things happen, if you can, I tell you, if you can, you'll be very good. Thank God for it. God, I thank you for this incident. I know it's a bad thing, you know. I know I don't know how to respond to this. But I want to thank you because I believe you always give the best for me. And then slowly you see how God revealed to you that indeed, it is good. And God always wants us to enjoy life, you know. God always wants to give us the joy, the real joy, not the joy that is dependent on material things, but the real joy that He is in us. So when we see life in these terms, then everything, we will be able to see that God indeed wants us to have joy in life. Now that is the message of this book. The author will continue to develop. Now this is only chapter 2, right? As we progress, we'll find that the author will continue to develop this theme, the theme on joy. Because I believe that in the New Testament, right? In the New Testament, We also have similar passages that talks about what I've just mentioned. For example, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a familiar verse to all of us, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And it is also the message of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, another very familiar verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Last but not least, Solomon says this. He says, but to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Now, I cannot expound too much on this because I don't have this my experience in this, right? But I've heard people mention, you know, that this is true, right? This is true. For example, I've read about the office in America. You know, how the office in America of this the navigators, it was actually from somebody who was rich, and he built the building, and later on, the building became the office for the navigators. So somebody built, but it was given later to those who please God. Things like this do happen. Now, is it strange that the more you run after life, the less you find? But the more you take life as a gift from God's hand, responding in thankful gratitude, the more you find joy. Even the trials, the heartaches, and the handicaps that others seek to avoid are touched by the blessings of heaven and seem to minister to the heart of the one who has learned to take from the hand of God. Now, to close my message this morning, I'd like to share about Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby. He's one of the favorite hymn writers of all time. And she was blind almost from birth. In fact, it was about 6 weeks old. She was about 6 weeks old before the blindness struck her. And she lived to a ripe old age of 95. When she was only 8 years old, she wrote this couplet. I should have printed out for you, but doesn't matter. Let me read to us. I think I want us to listen to this couplet written by Fanny Crosby. Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. That is the philosophy that pleases God. And that is what Solomon is talking about here. That joy comes to those who take life daily. Whatever it may bring, from the hand of a loving Father. Let us pray together. Loving Father, we are so thankful that you have made us, that you have given us life, not just life in a physical sense, but life abundantly. Life abundantly in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to pray that as we have received this life from you, we want to pray that this life will continue to grow. To grow to be more like Christ. Grow to be more like our Lord Jesus. So that whatever we do in life, we will bring glory and honor to your name. We give you glory and honor. We praise you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I have the worship team to come forward to sing the closing song for us?
Thank you for sharing with us the message that truly we can bathe in the presence and the comfort and assurance of Christ, our Lord and Savior, in life, in the various journey of life. Let us stand as we sing this closing song on Wings of Prayer. Go on your knees and whisper a prayer. You'll find God in that quietness, comfort you in His gentleness. There are times when life's storms seem wild, but God can calm them, make them bound. It's through our prayers that our burdens bear. Be Christ who gladly our burdens bear. To life we sail on the wings of prayer. There's nothing strength and power will fill our hearts. Promises, presence, never leave. Let's sing the verse again. When you're down, feel that no one cares. Go on your knees and whisper a prayer.
Father, we thank you that life is only meaningful when we are living life together with you. Because each and every day you wait for us, you desire to fill us with your love, with your joy, with your peace, with your comfort and with your strength. Lord, as we go to our various homes today, help us to continue to enjoy your presence and your power. We thank you that your presence is also with our sister Raina. We ask the Lord, your grace be sufficient. Not only to heal and to deliver her, but to give her a life that is meaningful, a life that is filled with your goodness. Lord, you have heard our prayers. We ask that you continue to do that which is pleasing in your eyes. And what is pleasing in your eyes is that, Father, you heal and deliver her. And for all of us, as we move on in life, we know that there are many struggles, but at the same time, there are many joys. All this find meaning and purpose only as we present ourselves to you. As you taught us today, to be thankful in everything. So, Lord, help us to leave this place with a joyful and thankful heart. Go with God, and may His grace be sufficient. May His joy be your strength, and may His peace be your portion. To the glory of God the Father, God His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated for some moments of quiet meditation. And after that, let's continue to worship God through our fellowship over some snacks and drinks. God bless you.